America. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you don't have Consumer Cellular yet, now is the perfect time to switch and save. For a limited time, new customers can get wireless service for as low as $15 a month for your first year. Yep, the same exact nationwide coverage as the leading carriers for $15 a month for an entire year. What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com and use code RADIO15.
See ConsumerCellular.com/first-year-15 for promotional details.
You ever been into a conspiracy?
Too many, yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
I've never been more, I think it was COVID. I've never been more conspiracy prone in my life.
Hold on. You said COVID, like because you had more time or because?
No, because of the genesis of COVID and how COVID transpired and who was behind it. Yeah. Don't get me started on this pod. Don't make me go on record on all this stuff. I'm fascinated with them. I think that I'm more conspiracy prone than ever.
Pastor Chad, have you heard any of the conspiracies about you?
No, this is not real.
This is not what I saw coming at all. I have not.
And oh, I mean...
conspiracies about me?
Well, okay, I think it's funny because there's like stuff that to me is like common knowledge to all of us that people are like theorizing about. I'm like, it's this. I'm like, we talked about
yes,
with this.
I saw
well,
this.
During the Haley and Selena drama, everyone was like, Chad Veach is the connection between all of them.
You were the mastermind of all of it.
Guys, I can't. All that I really remember about conspiracies was I do remember Pizzagate. That was a whole conspiracy yeah. thing. I remember just being kind of like, what just happened?
Yeah, same.
That was a bizarre deal.
Yeah, people don't understand that you don't necessarily run all of your stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at your comments like, what's happening?
Yeah. I think like anything like Burning Man, conspiracy behind it. Maui fires. Conspiracy behind it.
Yes.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. It's hard for me to go like, who do I trust?
Mm. Yeah.
That's why I want to go on record and just say, Leadership Leaning can be trusted.
Yes.
We are a credible source of information. We're in the middle. We're on neither party. We're on God's team.
Yeah.
Yes. No conspiracies here.
Do you guys think that we really did land on the moon?
Okay, I was going to go there. I'm guessing everything now. I'm guessing everything.
Everything.
I think we did.
I think so, too. JFK, you know, just the tons of stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable the conspiracies that are out there.
I'm more like the people that come up with these conspiracies and connections have to be a little crazy, but they're also brilliant people. Like, how did you make those connections?
They just look so believable.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. They look like they're actual journalists. They're not. They are not.
No.
They have just as much intel as you and I have, and they're coming up with the craziest conclusions. I wonder. Oh, let's bring it back. I wonder if it was like this in Jesus's day. I wonder if they were conspiring.
Mm.
Was he the king of the Jews? Was he who he says he was? You know, I heard so-and-so met him at a well. Oh, don't make me preach on a... Let's get into leadership right now. Come on, let's go. You could have got me preaching right there. If there was an organ, I would have gone crazy. If there was a Hammond B-52 behind me, it would have been over. I would have just...
Can you play Add the organ? Hammond.
Oh, yeah. That's a great button.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great button. Welcome, everybody, to Leadership Lean In. If you're new to our cast, a.k.a. this pod, we are a podcast that is all about the subject of leadership. And we believe that, as Craig Rochelle says, when the leader gets better, everybody gets better. And we're trying to lean into the subject. We're leaning into wisdom. We're leaning into understanding, leaning into leadership just to get a little bit better. We cannot promise perfection, but one thing, by golly, we're going to promise, and that is progress. We're going to get better. We're not where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. We're getting better. So today, very excited. We are going to be jumping into your guys's the Leaner Nation. It still makes me laugh that we've just kind of ran with the nation joke, the nation of leaners. A small little mighty nation. The leaners have submitted their questions. We're giving responses today. It's a Q&R. It's a Q&A. It's a Q and us day. And I want to thank everybody that subscribes and comments and shares and likes. And honestly, subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Subscribe to our Spotify, Apple, Pandora, wherever you listen to. I love saying the Pandora one.
Yeah.
The Pandora one gets me every time.
It's the accent.
Yeah. Just I throw it on there every time. But make sure that you subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the, I mean, the content on this podcast is just unbelievable. Chad, you can't say that's yours. Okay, let's jump into some questions from the nation.
Great. Okay, we've got a question from Robert that says, how do you get people to keep pushing when things get difficult and not to quit?
Wow, this is, I mean, come on. I was talking to a leader the other day and he was saying, you know, year X of his organization and they went on their staff retreat and he goes, you know, the hardest problem is these people have been with me for so many years and so long. And I sometimes find the pressure to keep them motivated. Mm. How do I keep them inspired was what he was saying. And I think that's kind of the, first of all, it starts with me, you know, passion bleeds, vision bleeds out. So I think I got to stay motivated. I got to stay inspired. I got to stay learning, because if I don't have a fresh thought, a fresh attitude, a fresh excitement, fresh vision, how could I expect others? So I think when things get tough, I think I got to model it. I got to model it with my, not just my words. Words are so powerful. We understand the power of life and death are in the tongue, but I think it's more than words. It's setting the bar. It's setting the example. It's setting a standard for difficult times. I think also, let's just play law of opposite for a moment. I think you also have to be careful to continue to set the standard in great success. Mm. You know, I think, let's just use a proverb for a second. A man is tested by the praise he receives. So there's two types of tests in leadership. There's the failure test, when things are hard and they're not going well, who was I found to be? And when we're crushing it, who was I found to be?
Yeah.
I think on both sides, let us be marked with great resolve, great humility, great values, great work ethic. In other words, here's the goal of leadership. I don't change.
Yep.
The season could change. The team could change. The outcomes. I love Nick Saban. Nick Saban was in a press conference and he said, you know what really messes things up? Results. Because results distract us from the process.
Wow.
And it's a commitment to the process really over the result. And I think we are in a result-driven society that we are so swayed by results. And I think what I have found is to just, no matter what the result, get up and go.
Yeah.
Be the same person.
Yeah, I think that, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, it reminds me of, we have staff devotions every week. And we always go through what's coming up. And certain seasons here at Zoe, at our organization, at the church, are busier than others, you know. And sometimes, like, the holidays are really busy. There's a lot of big projects. And I think there's space for people to potentially, you know, be a little freaked out or a little stressed. Like, oh my gosh, this is tomorrow. It's this big event. But we keep the same attitude. No matter what season we're in. We're excited. It's going to be fun. We're in this together.
Yes.
We're here. We're pumped out of our minds, no matter if it's going to be a lot of work or if it's a more chill season. Like, we have that same mindset, and that culture is contagious, you know. When I was a student, I remember thinking, like, wow, there's a lot going on, and everyone is so light. Everyone is so inspired. Everyone is so excited. And that really bleeds into the way you think about work and the way you approach it. No one's scared. Everyone's like, yeah, we're going to get it done. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fun.
That's right. That's right. It bleeds into the culture. And I think it's very important to me. I've had some really bad seasons where it wasn't going the way I wanted. And it was really dark and frustrating and almost like embarrassing. And I've had seasons where it's like, whoa, this is really special and really fun. And I think that I've learned through failure just to stay the same person.
Yeah.
You know, to be a rock of consistency, that I'm not moved. It doesn't change the way I work. A big season or a small season can't change who I am. I'm not defined by my result. I'm more defined by my character.
Yeah, and I think there's like, there's a weird tension of leaders who felt like they had to be superheroes.
There you go.
Like they... instead of showing people how to work through weakness or work through difficult times, they just try to put on a facade that there was no hard times.
Right.
You know, that everything was always good, and that led to, you know, crazy expectations.
Right.
Or there's just no model for that. And so I think, you know, something I love about your leadership, you and Pastor Julia, it's like, you're not afraid to say, hey, this isn't where we want to be.
Yeah.
But this is, this is the steps we're taking. This is the attitude we're going to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes it for all of us, whenever we feel that way, we go, oh, wait, we have a roadmap.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think it's important, you know, I think Andy Stanley said it years ago, people admire your strengths, but they relate with your weaknesses.
Totally.
And so no one has a superhero cape on.
Yeah.
And anybody that's pretending to, we all know, like, bro, you're just like us.
Yeah.
You're just a human with so many limitations. And so I'm impressed with people that can acknowledge and people that can, you know, I keep using this word, but it's of a sober mindset. Sobriety is such a big deal in leadership, I think, because it's not measuring myself too high or too small. It's having an accurate, modest view of self. That's a big deal. And if you have that, you never think you're the smartest person in the room or you're the best, but you're not the worst either. And you're not the low. You just got an accurate, modest view of self.
I think you said that was the definition of humility once.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so good.
It's such a big deal. All right, let's go to another one.
All right, here's another one. I think this one has to do with capacity maybe, but it says, this is from Chase. How do you handle people who think they're working really hard, but you know they aren't?
Wow, that's a good one.
Chase, name names. Let's just call him out. Let's just throw him under the bus.
Everyone who listens to the podcast and has a boss named Chase is like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I always think, like, first of all, you know, it's so funny that this question is, to me, a very generational question too. Because, you know, an older generation just has a whole different mindset on work ethic and what work is and what real work is. And I think we have to be careful because you don't want to, as you grow older as a leader, you don't want to be the guy that's like, when I was walking to school in the snow.
Uphill
and,
both ways.
Yeah, it's like the fish gets bigger every year. You become a hero or a legend in your mind more every year.
Yep.
And I think you got to be careful to not... you know, treat people petty and treat people like what they're doing is insignificant because all that's really exposing is a capacity issue. There might be a character issue attached to it, but it's really capacity. This is all this person can handle right now.
Right.
To them, this is a big deal.
Yep.
Now, I think the older you get, the more your capacity has to just expand. Mm-hmm. Your care. You know, when I was younger, I cared about this little sliver of life. And as I got older and got married and had a kid and two kids and three kids and four kids, and now I'm not just caring about a generation, I'm caring about a whole community. And just all your whole life is an expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when we look at people and go like, they're not working hard, I think we have to also be mindful. This is their capacity right now. And this is what they're able to do. Now, I need to also be able to go, can what their current capacity can handle, can that work within our organization?
Right.
Because maybe, God bless them, they're not at the, you know, the largest capacity right now, and I need them to be bigger in terms of what they can care for. We have to journey that. We have to address that. I think it's always about leaning into somebody's world and also helping them develop systems, helping them with time management.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times people don't have a lot of life skills because nobody showed them how to live life really well.
Right.
You know, that's just, thank God for great parents, but not everybody had great parents, to be honest. Not everybody had a great model of what work ethic was.
Right.
And it's amazing. We go every summer to Alabama, and we go spend time with our good friends, the Domains. And I watch as Harrison and his father, when we wrap up a day of boating, and I watch them clean up, you know, the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they work and the way that they care for every detail of, you know, toweling this thing down and taking care of everything, make sure it's clean and the dock and the boat and then getting up to the area and just, and these guys, you know, you ever want to watch people work really hard? Watch people around boats because you've got to be really into the details.
Yeah, it's true.
To make sure you can, you know, do this for a long time.
Yeah.
But I'm watching a son with the father, and it's being modeled. Work ethic is being modeled.
Really good.
You know, so I think it's always important that we model it. We lean into people's space and show them how to be able to accomplish more. We give people resources. We give people a chance. And so if to answer the question, if people aren't working as hard as you think they should be, let's journey before we just throw them out.
Yeah. This is a conversation I think we've had. I don't remember if we had it here or somewhere else, but do you think people are born, you know, with a bigger capacity than other people? Or do you think that's just we're all baseline and then it's developed from there?
No, I definitely think people are born with a certain capacity of what they can handle. You know, this morning, you know, I wrote about, you know, today is the 6th of September, and I wrote about in Proverbs 6, I went by the lazy man's house. You know, how long are you going to slumber? And then he says in the last verse I wrote about today, he said, boom, poverty will come upon you that fast. So to me, I'm down to help anybody. It's so funny. My father-in-law was here and he walked into our meeting the other day and he said, you know, just the way he talks, he goes, it's hard to separate a lazy man from his sheets.
What a line.
It's hard to separate a lazy man from his sheets. What he's saying is if you're lazy, you're lazy.
Yep.
You're going to stay in bed. So if someone really wants to work, but they don't know how to, I'll journey with them. I'll help you. I'll lean in your world. But I would rather try and pull somebody back that's a self-starter than have to poke somebody with a stick to get them to go. So that's, to me, some people are born with a greater capacity, of course, but let's look at, are you disciplined? Are you devoted? Do you have the ability to work hard? And that, to me, it comes before capacity. Before we ever talk about capacity, let's talk about, are you a self-motivator? Mm-hmm. If you're a self-motivator, we can figure out the rest.
Right. Really good. Yeah. Agreed.
Let's go. What's the next one?
The next one is from Chris. It says, how do second cheerleaders support their teams? So I guess someone who's like kind of like second in command and they're kind of an in-between position.
Is that what it said? Mm-hmm. Second chair cheerleaders, how they support the person that's in charge.
And their teams below. So above.
Yeah, it's great. Well, I just think, like, first of all, it doesn't matter what chair you're in.
Yeah.
That support, encouragement. I just can't encourage everybody enough. You got to go get The Energy Bus by John Gordon. I think it's almost sold up to 3 million copies now. Something about having good teammates. Now, this is a big value of mine. I just despise bad teammates. I despise people that bicker, backbite, have an agenda, aren't trusting, kind of over their shoulder, looking around. Like, no team can thrive with a teammate like that. That, to me, is where the toxicity rests. The toxicity rests, the cancer rests on that person. Mm. Because growth and momentum only happen when there's trust and there's unity. And so to answer this person's question, how do you do that? Well, you start with the desire to do it. Because remember, whatever you go for, you get. Whatever you're after, you're going to achieve. Mm. So if I want to be a good teammate, I'm going to be a good teammate.
Right.
If I want to be an encouragement, I'm going to be an encouragement. Yeah. If I want to be a blessing, I'm going to be a blessing. So it starts with the desire to be a good teammate. And then I just kind of figure out, this is so small, but, you know, on this group text this morning between Natalie and Maddie, Maddie texted me and said, hey, I'm at Blue Bottle. Would you like anything? And I said to her, absolutely, like Americano, I'll send you a Venmo right now. And she says, no need to Venmo. That's a good teammate.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring you a coffee because you probably need one. And I just want to bless you.
Yeah.
That's an encouragement.
Totally.
Yeah.
No one said, you know, you should do this. She just thought to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that being a good team is the desire to add value. I think I love this Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary that just came out on Netflix.
I gotta watch it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't get over this line. I keep saying to my boys, make yourself useful. And so it's like when you're standing around with your hands in your pockets, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Make yourself useful. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. And so if I have the desire to be a good teammate, I will be one. Because I'm thinking about them, not about me. The person that is self-preserving, self-territorial, focused, never wins.
Yeah.
But others focused, team focused, always wins.
Hey, Leaners, we're here to talk about our sponsor. And today, it's probably one of my favorites, which is HelloFresh. And I love HelloFresh. They sent us the absolute best little shrimp meals. I'm a pescatarian, so I love all the different seafood options. They also do vegetarian meals. They do regular family-style meals. They do so many different things that fit your lifestyle. It's so easy. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You go online, pick your meal options, and I think that for a leader, time is valuable. Time is money. This is saving you time. It's saving you grocery store craziness. It's saving you sanity, and it's just delicious and easy to cook. So we love HelloFresh, and you should go to HelloFresh.com/50lean and use code 50lean for 50% off plus 15% off the next 2 months. It's pretty crazy. I'm going to say it again so you don't forget. Go to HelloFresh.com/50lean and use code 50lean for 50% off plus 15% off the next 2 months. It's America's number one meal kit. You should get HelloFresh. Back to the episode.
I think, you know, you're talking about getting a cup of coffee and, you know, hey, don't worry about the Venmo and stuff. Like that is a great teammate on so many levels, just the whole coffee thing. Praise God for that. You know? But I think integrating radical hospitality into your teams.
Yeah.
It's really good.
You know, not making hospitality a team or a department
That's
in
right.
your business or, you know, but having that culture.
That's right.
Where, you know, there's a, you know, all the time we're getting each other coffees on staff and stuff. And no one ever goes, you know, it's just kind of known. Hey, I got, if they offer it.
Got you.
We got you. Because yeah. I know tomorrow. You're going to
offer Yeah.
It's going to be right.
Yeah,
it's
reciprocated.
Yeah. But I love that idea. This whole Maddie, what you just said with this coffee, it's inspiring me. I want to be radically hospitable to my teammates and make them feel like, you know, even the small thing. It's like when you get that text message, it feels like a little Christmas present.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And again, I can't emphasize it enough. It all starts with the desire.
Yeah.
It starts with even thinking, being self-aware to think about others.
Someone else.
Huge. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right, here's one. How do you best prepare your team when you take an extended period of time off?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great.
You that's just great. Did this.
I just did it.
You feel like you did it well?
I thought a lot while I was gone. I wish I would have done it better. I think that where I would have missed this year, I think the 4th of July and the calendars kind of was a little funky and travel was a little funky. I think, you know, Jesus is the greatest leader in the history of the world, in my opinion. So what does he do before he leaves? He gets them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks them in the eyes. And he tells them exactly what he wants them to go do. And I just think, there it is. I sent a great message. So there's a digital form, but if I would go back, I wish I could have had eye contact and said, hey, I'm going to go away. This is what I want you to do. And because I think that Jesus is the perfect model for this. You need to tell people exactly what you want. I think that people really want to know, what's my mark?
Hmm.
Yeah.
What's success? Mm-hmm. Define it for me. Show me what it is. I can't promise you perfection, but I can promise progress. I'm going to do my best to hit the mark. So tell me what the mark is while you're gone. Yep. So I think setting people up is just, I don't like it when there's hidden expectations and people aren't very clear with their expectations.
Yeah.
I like to just know, like, what do you expect from me? Because then I, you know, it's like, to be honest, it's like signing a contract.
Mm.
When I sign a contract, I really try and read through this thing to know if I can deliver on it or not.
Yep.
And if I like the terms, it's like, all right, I can deliver on that. Let's do that. So I think it's just about setting clear expectations while you're gone of what you don't want and what you do want.
Yeah, I was thinking too, like, you know, we did the keep your eye on the ball, you know, a couple podcasts ago. And it's like, if you don't tell us where the ball is,
it's
going to be really hard to knock it out of the park.
Right.
And then my mind goes to the parable of the talents, right? And the master says, hey, this is what I want you to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to be away. Do this.
Yeah. And you know, two of these guys said, okay, that's how I hit a home run. Well, I'm going to hit a grand slam.
Yes.
You know, and they took it that next level. And I think that's what every opportunity, if, you know, if your leader is leaving, you have the opportunity for them to come back and go like, whoa.
And I always think, like, first of all, loyalty is never proven in front of my face. It's always proven behind my back.
Yep.
Who you are when I'm not around is a bigger deal than who you are when I'm in your presence. So that's how loyalty is proven. But I also think success is determined not when the leader is there, but who are they when the leader is gone.
That's right.
When you're gone, it says more about who you are than when you're there. So I just think it's the leadership that you've been working on is really tested when you're away. Mm-hmm. So if it's going to be tested while you're away, at least give some clear expectations of like, yeah. I'm going to be away. This is what you're going to probably face. And so try and do X, Y, and Z. I think it's important.
I love it.
April.
Okay. Jimmy asks, how can you go about leading others on your team when they are much older than you?
Ooh. Well, April, how do you lead us? Hey, April, you take this one.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm just here for comedic relief.
I'm just here with my frog. I just realized you have a frog as your case.
Oh, yeah, it's Karopi.
It's who?
Karopi, yeah, from Sanrio.
From what? Let's not. I'll take this question then, April. How do you lead people? I think that the first thing it starts with is not being intimidated. So let's just look at, you know, okay, so Paul says to Timothy, he says, okay, don't let anybody look down on you. So he's being clear. He's going like, hey, you have a responsibility here. Don't let people look down on you. Don't let it be despised that you're a younger leader. But you set the example. So other people are going to throw spears at me if I am trying to be a leader and I've got all these character issues and flaws and I'm talking this way and I'm messing around. I'm doing this and that and the other. And the old people are like, you're supposed to be my leader? Look at you.
Yeah.
You have to set the bar. You got to set the standard. So I think it's about having, you know, impeccable character. I think it's about saying like, the only reason why I'm qualified to lead people that are older than me is because I'm trying my best to live as a walking, living, breathing example. Mm-hmm. And so that gives me authority. So my authority does not come from my age. My authority comes from my lifestyle.
That's great.
I live it. Yep. And because I live it, I can talk about it. So it's like, I'll never forget one year. This is like in early 2000s. A guy that we were working with didn't vote. Mm-hmm. So voting came around. And so the staff I was working at, they said, you know, did you guys vote? And this guy said, I didn't vote. And one of the guys on staff said, dang. So you can't talk about politics for the next 4 years.
Wow.
He said, you don't have the authority. You have no authority on it. You didn't. You're not involved in it. And I remember him. I remember kind of being taken back. Like, wow. I think what he's saying is, you have authority to talk about stuff that you do, stuff that you participate in, stuff that you're walking out. So I have great authority on money. Why do I have authority on money? Because I live it.
Yeah.
So I have authority on generosity. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I have authority. And to be honest, a great leader, in my opinion, has authority on every issue.
Right.
Not 100%. Like, it's not like one issue is like.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't really talk right now. You know, that's my. I have authority.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how I live.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter my age. My age does not determine how great I am. Now, of course, I think that you need to develop and you need to have experience. And it's, you know, it's kind of dumb for somebody that's single to give marriage advice. And it's kind of dumb for somebody without kids to give parent advice. I understand. But as far as age goes, it's in leadership. How do you lead people that are older than you? You've got to up the ante on your character and have impeccable character, which I just think is so underrated.
Yeah.
Having integrity. Being who you say you are, mm-hmm. being consistent, being the same person. I love Robert Morris, the leadership leaning we have coming out with him. Robert Morris said something so powerful. And he is talking about this idea of passing these 10 tests and making sure that your leadership, you know, you really engage in every aspect of who you are. And I was so inspired. I want everybody to read his new book, From Dream to Destiny, because I think everybody has a dream. Every leader has a dream. But to fulfill your destiny, it's about just staying consistent in your character and your integrity.
That's right. I think, too, as a younger leader, you know, leading older leaders, I think there's a level of, like, I'm going to make sure that I honor your experience.
Yeah.
And
I want to respect where you're from. Right. At the same time, don't confuse my age with my ability.
I
think the really cool thing about, you know, so I'm a millennial. You're a Gen Z?
I would be, yeah, Gen Z.
And you're...
Rough.
In,
I'm like on the cusp.
You're Gen X?
I don't know. I'm 43, about to turn 44.
So, yeah, I think you'd
it's like
be,
a Gen X, Gen X millennial.
No, you're Gen X.
Oh, I think I'm sure. Gen X.
Yeah. You know, it's like...
I haven't thought about that in a long time, obviously.
I know. I just go from, like, millennial to boomers. There's a whole other one in between. There's a whole other one.
I'm definitely not a boomer.
No. But I think there is, like, this weird reputation that millennials get that we don't respect the people that are older than us. And Gen Z, it goes, like, even further. They don't respect anybody, even themselves, clearly.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think, you know, you addressed it earlier. It's like we just do things differently. Our work ethic, even though it could be the same, just looks different.
That's
than
right.
The work ethic of the generation above us. And
that's
so
right.
I think more efficient work is still great work ethic.
That's right.
You know, and respecting. But at the same time, like, I don't look at you and go, man, your work is less efficient. So, you know,
yeah.
You less respect. No, it's like I honor the ethic of it.
That's right. Everybody has to figure out, you know, how it plays out for you and who you need to be and how to, I think so much of leadership is just trying to get yourself to the best, healthiest version of yourself.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like, whatever your generation, whatever your, you know, hours of input, but you got to get strong and you got to get healthy and you got to be the best version of you. Let's go to the next one.
Jimmy asks, there's a few Jimmys on here.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Jimmy asked, what do you do when you know you're called to leadership, but you don't have any leadership or ministry opportunities?
What do you do when you know you're called to leadership, but you don't have any? Well, hit the John Maxwell.
That everything rises and falls on leadership.
Gosh, it just gets better. Oh, gosh. I hope I talk so much that one day I sound like that. You know, so John would say leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So I would say to this person, do you have influence?
Mm-hmm.
So the way that you know, so the way that I know I'm a leader is that I have people that are being impacted by my life, that I have influence in. I'm not an influencer, but I have influence. And so I think that, you know, in other words, you don't need an opportunity from somebody.
Yeah.
You're a leader.
That's right.
So guess what leaders are always doing? They're always leading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you ever want to know who's the leader, just... So funny, the other day we were this summer in Missouri, and we're with our friend the great Danny White, and we're on the dock. It's me and my boys, and they pull up in the boat to pick us up. And it's hot, you know, Missouri hot.
Gross.
And so we got our towels. We're about to get on the boat, and they kind of pull up to us, and one of my boys, I think, says like, can we jump in the water? And I was expecting, like, we got to get in the boat. We got to go with Danny. And so I said, no, I'm not going to jump in the boat and jump in the water right now. You know, let's get out. We're going to inner tube. We're going to get out. And Danny says, no, boys, jump in the water right now. And he goes, I'm jumping in right now. He takes off his shirt, goes jumping in. So I look and I go, well, Danny's jumping in.
Let's go.
So I take my shirt off and I jump in. And we're all in the water. And Danny goes, you know what that it's called, boys? Leadership. I go, yeah, it is.
That's amazing.
Because leaders are leading.
Yep.
They're always setting the tone.
Yep.
It could be in a small group with three or four people, but that's influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's leadership going like, we're going to do it. We're going to go. So we're going to make it happen.
Right.
And I think you don't need a title. You don't need an office. You don't need a position to be a leader. You got to just live as a leader. How am I impacting? How am I influencing? And how am I getting people to do that in this situation? Because it was so hot. That was the right thing to do is jump in the water. And so I think that, you know, I don't know if this is Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Clausen. I don't know which Jimmy this is. A lot of Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know which Jimmy this is, but I know that leaders are leading. Don't wait for somebody to give you a title lead.
That's great.
Okay, let's go to April. Let's go to your frog.
Let's do
two more. Two more.
Okay, I'll save a funny one for last.
Okay, I like that.
I was going to do the funny one.
You were going to do the funny one?
Okay. I like
this one.
I like doing a little funny. Funny's good.
No, I was going to do this one. We could do two funny ones.
Oh, let's do two funny at the end. I like it.
Okay.
Andy asks...
Oh, gosh.
How do I properly lead my fantasy football team to victory?
Okay, so Andy, that's funny. Ha ha ha. I'm kidding. If I were you, I would just get on the, you know, get on those websites every week. You know, ESPN, all these guys telling you, get out. You know, start this guy. This guy's killing it. What I learned about fantasy is you got to make moves. Mm. Can't just get your team and stick with it. You got to make a lot of moves, make a lot of trades. Fantasy is a whole nother level of commitment. By the way, I'm in a pick'em league. You join the league.
Yep.
Pick'em league. I like the pick'em league. I just go through all the games that week, pick who's going to win, see how well I did. I don't have time to follow, you know, the tight the end for the Detroit Lions. I'm not doing that this year.
So you pick the players to be on your team.
That's fantasy football. Pick'em league is the Jets are playing the Bills this Monday
night.
Who's
going to win, Jets or Bills?
Who's going to win, Jets or Bills?
I could do that because then I just go by the logos.
Okay, by the logos. There you go. So thank you, Andy, for your for your insightful, brilliant question. What's yours?
Okay, last one. This is from Disney Dreamer 27.
Wow.
Disney Dreamer
27. They're listeners. They're listening.
Of all the handles.
We love you and respect you.
Of all the handles, that's got to be one of my favorite ones.
Frog Case over here. Okay.
Disney Dreamer 27. Do you think 27 is the person's age, by the way? Where's the 27?
Probably not.
Their birth date?
Birthday.
Anniversary date.
Maybe 1 through 26 were taken.
Yeah. Biblical number for 27. You know what it is?
No.
Frogs. Keep going.
Great. He says, he must know you, have been around you with your kids.
Okay.
Maybe at Disneyland even. Please teach us how to whistle very loudly.
Oh, that's a... I don't know if I can teach you how to do that. I can teach you how to Dougie, but I cannot teach you how to whistle like I do. It's a supernatural gift.
Do you do the one of the...
No.
Not the fingers in the mouth.
Have you ever heard my dad whistle?
It's real.
Okay, I'm going to back up from the mic here. Okay, hold on. Yeah. Have you heard it? You never heard it?
I don't think so.
Okay, if I'm in Disneyland, my kid's, you know, crying for a churro, and I can't find him, he knows the sound. It's a very distinct sound.
Like, how do you do that?
That was incredible.
That's just pure grace of God. That's just anointing. Some people were born with gifts that they're unexplainable. Six things that I wonder at. Seven things make me marvel. An eagle, a man with a whistle. You know, it's just like, come on. You know, not everybody can do this stuff, guys. Listen, we're going to be around for a while. I'm going to follow up with Andy in Disney World 27, but we love you. Keep leading. Keep going. You're the best.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.